Welcome to Divine Feminine Rising with Mez Deline. I'm Mez Deline, and my intention with this podcast is to entertain, educate, and illuminate as I share the power and magic of the Divine Feminine. Thank you so much for being here. I'm grateful for your time and attention. This episode will be about energy. You might wonder what that has to do with the Divine Feminine. And energy is everything. Divine feminine energy is different than divine masculine energy. And that's something that I will be addressing in a future episode. But today I just want to talk about what energy is and how it works in the world. I think that it's just a fascinating concept that energy is everything. And I've given it a lot of thought and done some research, but I mostly am coming from my own experience with energy. And so that's what I'll be talking about mostly. But anyway, it all started the other day when I was talking to a friend, having a conversation, and he was telling me about someone that was using their energetic influence in an emotionally harmful way. And when he tried to talk to her about it, she got angry and said she didn't believe in that stuff. He was trying to explain how her energy was affecting other people. And this woman considered herself to be spiritual. And I don't know her, but I couldn't help but wonder what she meant by not believing in that stuff. And so my first thought was that she just didn't understand energy. And by not understanding about energy, she had no idea about her own personal power and influence in the world, which I think is pretty sad. And just like everything else, I think if she doesn't have an understanding, then there's a lot of other people out there that don't have an understanding of energy. And when I have taught, I've always told people no question is a dumb question, right? Because if you have a question, there's other people that have the same question, and they just might not be as brave to ask it. Being a Reiki master for over 30 years, the idea of energy is just a basic concept to me, and I know it might be to a lot of people, but I hope that you do learn a different way maybe of looking at it by listening to this. And maybe learn a different way of describing it. Anyway, I've had fun with this episode. So after my conversation the other day, what came to me is that not everybody has a basic understanding of energy. And I find that with a lot of other things in my life, things that are ordinary to me are extraordinary to somebody else. For instance, I posted on Facebook the other day about how I was out at the beach, and there was this helicopter way off in the distance. It was just tiny in the distance. And this woman comes running over to her friend and says, "Look, look, it's a Coast Guard helicopter." And I live right on the coast, and I see Coast Guard helicopters pretty much daily and often really up close. So to me, that's ordinary. That's just a basic, ordinary thing in my life. But to her, it was extraordinary. She'd never seen one. And she was very excited about it. It's the same thing with energy. To me, it's an ordinary concept, but I know it isn't to everybody. So science shows us that everything is made up of energy and that energy is what composes all matter. The same energy that your human body has is the same energy that animals, stones, trees, your phone, and anything else has, anything made of matter. And even light, which isn't made of matter, is energy due to the movement of electromagnetic waves. So I grew up on a Native American reservation. And many Native Americans and other indigenous cultures believe in what is called animism. Animism is the belief that objects, places, and creatures all possess a distinct spiritual essence. They refer to the tree people, the stone people. The mountain is an energy to them. The elements, earth, air, water, and fire all consist of energy and individual essence. And the tribe that I lived with believed that animals were messengers, and they all had a different message. So, for instance, snake, they believed was very powerful because it crawls on the ground. It's directly in contact with the earth, and it's considered an intermediary between the earth and the sky. Owl is considered a messenger of death. Over time, they've noticed that when someone sees an owl, often someone dies. And so it became what they believed to be a messenger of death. On the reservation where I lived, they believed that bears were sacred, that they carried the essence of their ancestors. And if you've ever seen a bear stand up on its hind legs, if you kind of erase the fur, they pretty much look human. So it's not really hard to imagine that they're ancestors. Deer are also sacred, and they believe that the deer, elk, and antelope held a council many eons ago and offered humankind themselves for food as long as humans made use of all the parts. And so Native Americans, when they kill an elk or a deer or antelope, they, of course, use every bit of food, but they also use the hides for clothing and for their teepees, and they use the bones for tools. They even use the gut as sinew to sew their clothes. So whether or not you believe that animals are messengers, quantum physics has now proven what indigenous cultures have known since the beginning of time. All matter contains energy, and each thing has its own unique essence. It's just that the essence is interpreted differently depending on belief systems, I guess. So scientifically, we know that everything is composed of atoms. And my explanation isn't that scientific, although I love science. The way I think of it is that everything is made of the same stuff, which is atoms and molecules and electrons and so forth. But it's the same stuff whether it's my desk or my body. We just vibrate at different energetic levels and have different heat levels. One time I was talking to a woman, and she said that it bothered her that her husband had no belief in the afterlife. She said he was an atheist and he just didn't believe in such things. That when people died, they were just dead and gone, and that was it. And she just didn't know how to wrap her head around that or how to explain to him that people weren't just gone when they died. And so I told her that she could use science to prove to him that when we're dead, we don't just stop, and that science has proven that we're made of energy, and that energy doesn't just stop. It can't die, but it can change. It can transform. So it goes to reason that when we die, our energy has to go somewhere because it doesn't just cease to exist. So in some aspect, we do live on. Whether the debatable energy of our soul goes back to source, or our bodies just turn into food and fertilizer, there is some form of life after death. So during my research for this episode, I found this quote in an article by someone named Jamie Trosper, and it was published in an online scientifically credible media source called Futurism. And the quote says, "In death, the collection of atoms of which you are composed, a universe within the universe, are repurposed. Those atoms and that energy, which originated during the Big Bang, will always be around. Therefore, your light, that is, the essence of your energy, not to be confused with your actual consciousness, will continue to echo throughout space until the end of time. I just love that. That was such a great way of expressing it. So it's a proven fact that energy can't be created or destroyed, and that the total amount of energy in the universe has always been and will always be constant. However, energy can change form and even transfer between objects, such as when potential energy becomes kinetic energy, or when one object moves another object. For instance, when a golf club hits a golf ball, the ball transfers from being potential energy to becoming kinetic energy as it flies through the air. So on another level, light workers work with energy. And light worker is a New Age term for someone who serves humanity and the planet. Another term for light worker is energy healer. People who do Reiki, for instance, work in the body's energy field. So what does that mean, the body's energy field? Well, the way I explain it when I teach Reiki is that not only are our bodies composed of energy, but that energy radiates from our body. And you might have heard the term your bubble, that someone got too close and was in your bubble. I've heard people say, they just got way too close to me. They were actually in my bubble. Well, that refers to the energy that extends from your body. And some people's energy goes way out from their bodies, and some keep their energy very close. So a person whose energy extends outward can close their eyes and feel when someone else's energy enters their energy field. And I think how, you know, when someone loses a sense, their other senses become more sensitive. So for instance, a blind person becomes more able to detect when they come close to a wall, even without their cane. I believe they become more in tune with the energy that is around them. So their energy extends maybe further than a normal person. And so they can walk and not run into things because they can sense the energy of objects and other people. And when I teach a Reiki class, I have people close their eyes and then I move my hand into their energy field and I tell them to let me know when they feel my energy. Some people can feel it 4 feet away. Some people I'm practically touching their nose. So it's something that you can develop, that extra sensory ability to sense energy. And it's just about being aware, right? It's just about being conscious that that's a reality, that we're all made of energy, that everything's made of energy, and that we can sense other people's energy, and we can sense the energy of objects, and of course of animals. So it's not woo-woo stuff. It's, you know, scientifically proven that the energetic expression goes beyond our actual skin. And we can even photograph that. So infrared photography photographs the body's heat. Heat is a form of energy. Our body puts out heat, so our body is putting out energy. And infrared photography can photograph that energy. And it's called infrared because it's shown as red. I'm sure you've seen movies or you've read about it, how they use infrared photography to find people. So it's pretty cool. I personally do aura photography, and that uses a special type of technology to not only see the radiance of a person's energy, in other words, their heat field, but it can also show the color of that energy field, which we call an aura. So that energy field around our bodies is known as our auric field. And our aura has color. So anyway, back to Reiki. There are many forms of healing energy, but Reiki is the one that I personally have extensive experience with because I've been a Reiki master for decades, right? When giving someone a Reiki treatment, I work directly in their energy field. I actually touch the person, but some Reiki practitioners hold their hands a bit above the body, just in their energetic field and not actually touching. But I'm all about nurturing. And I feel that touch itself can be very nurturing, so I put my hands directly on the person. That being said, though, I sometimes have to lift my hands off because of the intensity of the energy, which I feel is heat. Sometimes my hands feel like they're burning. And sometimes I'll get feedback from a person I'm working on saying, "Your hands were so hot." But my sense is that they were the ones that were really hot. And so either way, there's a lot of heat going on there, which is energy. And science has been able to measure that now. They didn't used to. It used to be that when a Reiki person talked to a science person and said they feel a lot of heat energy on a person, they were told that was not real, that was their imagination, that was woo-woo. Well, now they have proven scientifically that it is real. And they've also proven that Reiki can help speed up healing after surgery by up to 30%. So that's pretty cool. So a lot of studies have been done on Reiki now. But when I'm giving a treatment and I feel a lot of heat, I know that it's an area that needs healing. And again, there's nothing woo-woo about that. If you have an infected finger or an injury, it gets hot and it gets red because there's an energy disturbance and the body sends more blood flow. So I can feel that energy disturbance when I'm working on someone. And I have so many Reiki stories, but I'll just give you a couple of examples. So I once gave a man a treatment, didn't know him from Adam. He was a perfect stranger to me. He was face down on my table, and I felt a lot of heat in his low back. And I told him that I felt an energy disturbance there, and it felt like it was an area that might need healing energy. He said that he had broken his back, and it was still healing. So that was one of the earliest times that I felt that much disturbance in the energy, and it was really validating when he gave me that feedback. So another time, I felt an extreme energy disturbance in a woman's womb area. It was so intense that I was really worried about her, and I suggested she go see a gynecologist. And this was after the Reiki treatment was over. And she told me that the real reason she had asked for a treatment was because she had had an abortion the day before. So that was also very validating to me that I really was feeling an energy disturbance and that I could tell the difference between healthy areas and unhealthy areas in people. So energy workers can actually feel the energy. When a body has an injury, for instance, it causes inflammation and there's an increased blood flow to that area, which is more energy going to that area, more energy being diverted to the area of the injury to help heal that injury. Another time, I was giving someone Reiki, and the heat was so intense that I had to lift my hands off and finish the treatment like 6 or 8 inches away from the body. And after their treatment, the person said, "You're usually so gentle, but you were pressing so hard on my body, it was uncomfortable." And when I told them I was 6 to 8 inches away the whole time, they couldn't believe it until someone else in the room verified it. So I've had a lot of energetic experiences. Energy is definitely all around us, inside of us, outside of us. And Reiki is about helping to balance the body's energy field, energy systems, and it can help someone relax. In fact, I didn't know what relaxation was until I received a Reiki treatment, because I'm always like super high-wired, I guess you'd say. And people would say, "You need to relax." Well, I didn't know what relaxing meant. But once I had a Reiki treatment and I felt relaxation, then I've been able to get back to that feeling, right? Now, once I knew what it was, I can get there by myself now. But Reiki also relieves pain and definitely promotes healing. So I'm a big believer just through my own personal experience. So as another thing, as a Reiki practitioner, we don't use our own energy. Some people use their own energy to do healing work. You know, they feel like they can take people's pain away and so forth, but that often backfires on them because what they're actually doing is they can do it, but they're taking it on themselves. Reiki is one direction. And so basically it involves opening our crown chakras and allowing universal life force or source energy to flow through us. So we're not doing the healing. It's not coming from our own energy. So we're not depleting ourselves when we work on someone else. So as the energy flows through us, it's a very cool thing because our body takes what it needs for healing. And as we let it flow through and our hands are on someone, we don't make any judgments because spirit knows where the person needs the energy. It might be physically, or it might be emotionally, or it might be spiritually. And it's not our business to decide to direct where the energy goes. We just allow it to flow. And I have to tell you, there's been times when I've worked on someone that was in so much pain, and I just offer the energy for their highest good. But the mesdaline part of me really wants to help relieve their pain, right? But sometimes that's not what is to their highest good. I've seen miracles happen under my hands, and I've also helped people leave their bodies and cross over to the other side with peace. So energy obviously is a huge topic for me, and I hope that I helped you gain maybe some deeper understanding, or perhaps validated something that you have felt or experienced and thought might be your imagination. I really hope that I brought you some helpful information or maybe inspiration to dig a little deeper on this topic, because energy is life. So I want to thank you today for joining me. My mission is to help bring back the balance of the divine feminine to spirituality. And I believe that using our energy from a place of love and of service is definitely a divinely feminine way of expressing ourselves. Please share my podcast with anyone who might be interested in the divine feminine and personal empowerment. And if you'd like to connect with me further, feel free to reach out. You can find me at mezdaline.com, Divine Feminine Rising with mezdaline.com, Mezdaline Bliss, or Mezdaline on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. Also, my email is mezdeline@mezdeline.com. Also, if you want to join my mailing list, please sign up for that on my website. And I'm going to be starting a newsletter soon. Allow the light of your love to shine. Be the change. Lead the way. And always remember, your light of love is a needed gift to the world that only you can give.